This is awesome. As you guys can tell, I came dressed like I was at camp as well. I wore my shorts and my sandals just because I wanted to be relaxed. And it was an amazing week at camp. As you guys know already, you saw some of the highlights. You saw what God was doing in our children's lives, in our counselors' lives, and not just our church, but churches around the state that came to join the celebration. I think there is something about going up onto a mountain. Like the air gets thinner and the space between heaven and earth kind of gets smaller and smaller, where you're able to hear the voice of God so much stronger, probably because the phone is not out, you know, and the distractions, the games, all that stuff is put away. But you can see that it really impacted our kids' lives. I got a privilege to be in the high school camp. We took Jude, Owen, and another guy, Blake, to Ponderosa camp. And I do have to say, just as a highlight for me for the week, we took home the rec championship, right? We are the champions. I've been so many times before, and this is the first time that we have ever taken home, I've ever taken home a championship as a part of the group that I was with. I even took this guy in the back here. He's a college basketball player. I took him with me one time, and we still didn't win the championship. So this is pretty special. It was a pretty special week for me. So you guys saw all the fun that happened. You heard quick snippets about the speaker and some of the things that he was preaching. But I wanted to give you guys, we heard over 5 days, the story of Moses in Israel. And I wanted to just try to hit like the main point of what all the sermons were about throughout the week. And the primary message was that God is holy, okay? We focused on God's holiness, and that was comprised of different messages where they hit hard on God is just, God's wrath, and ended with God's sovereignty and God's righteousness. And at first, I was a little concerned about the messages being a little bit too deep for our kids, but I think they really brought it home in a way that explained that God is fully just and God is fully loving. Okay, and I wanted to steal, it's actually a story from... Sorry, this is the end of the... Let me go back to the front here. Started at the end. There it is, okay? God is just and God is love, okay? God is just and God is love. I'm stealing a story from Evangelism Explosion because I think that it captures the point of the week really well in story form, okay? So there is... The story goes like this. There's a commander of an army, and he's a good commander, and he loves his battalion, and he is a righteous battalion leader, and they're on a journey, sort of like the Israelites, out of Egypt, and it's a long journey, so they had to ration their goods, their food, right? So they had to give out, they would only give a little bit of food to each person each day, and then one day, the second in command comes to the commander, and he says, "Hey, commander, I have some bad news. Somebody's been stealing from our rations." And so the commander, being a commander, good commander, says, "Well, go find out who that person is, and we will have to publicly discipline them," right? So the second commander goes out, and they keep an eye out, and a few days later, he comes back to the commander, and he says, "Hey, commander, I have some good news, and I have some bad news. The good news is we found the person stealing the rations. The bad news is it was your mother." Right? Now, the commander was immediately conflicted because he knew in order for him to be a good commander, he would still have to discipline his mother. He made a public statement. He would not be righteous. He would not be just if he did not. But he was saddened because he knew that if he were to discipline his mother in front of all the people, his mother was old in age, she would not be able to take the lashes that she would deserve. But he said, "Anyways, go ahead, find my mother, bring her in front of the battalion. We need to discipline her." So they went, they grabbed the mother, and they brought her before the battalion, and said, "Mom, you've stolen rations from our food. Someone must pay for this penalty." And as they were getting ready to tie her up to give her her lashes, he says, "Stop, wait, tie me up instead." He offers himself as the sacrifice for his mom and takes the lashes for his mom. In doing so, he fulfills the righteousness of the commander, but he expresses his love to the greatest degree and takes the punishment for his mother. That is the story of Jesus. That is what Jesus did for us. We as human beings have a condition where we've sinned, we've stolen rations, whether it was food or money, or we've said things or did things that we shouldn't have done. We've all done them. We all know what they are in our own lives. I don't have to point them out. But Jesus says, I'm going to step in. He stepped in already when he stood on the cross, or when he went up on the cross and took his lashes till his final breath and said, it is finished. God is holy, God is just, and God is love. Right? So with that message being preached all week long, I'm not surprised that we have so many kids coming back going, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I want this Jesus in my life. And it's changed their lives. Now, I'm going to transfer here to just a different mode for a second. I'm actually a math teacher by trade. I teach at a county school in Stockton, and I wanted to give you guys some expectations for this morning. Okay? Every time I come into a classroom, I like to tell them, hey, this is what we're going to learn today. This is what I'm expecting from you. I'm actually going to add a couple expectations on here real fast just as I was sitting, I was thinking about it. These are the expectations. This is what I want you to come away with this morning. Okay, I want you to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? The story of God's justice and God's love, that's just the beginning. Kids, if you're in here this morning and you've heard this story, or adults, you've heard that story, that's just the start of it. That's just the beginning of it, right? Once you accept Jesus into your life, that unlocks the potential for all those other things that God wants for us in our life, to love people, to love our community, to go out and be the light into the world. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The second thing is that God is not neglectful, punitive, or permissive. Okay, if you don't know those words, I'll go over them in a second. Okay, the big words, I'll explain them. The third, God is in the business of restoration and reconciliation. Okay, another two big words, I'll get to those. And then fourthly, as we close it out, I want you to walk in the power of God's presence that is existent within you, okay? The two things, or one of the things that I wanted to add to this, expectation, this is a family service. I expect to see little heads bobbing up and down, like wiggling in your seats, okay? Kids, thank you for joining us. I know that it's hard to sit through a whole sermon, so I'll try to keep it interactive and fun for you. But I love that you guys are in the service with us and get to hear some of this. So the other part is I think to add to our values as a church, I think it's important that you guys know that we value this next generation. We value parents in service with kids. We value that you guys are hearing the same message, okay, so that you can take some of this stuff home, practice it in your life, talk about it with your spouse, talk about it with your children, and put it into practice in the everyday, okay? All right, so let me get on with this. I actually adopted this from some curriculum that I learned at school, okay, and it's on restorative practices. It was actually a two-day training, 8 hours each day, so I'm going to sum it up into 20 minutes for you, all right? I'm going to do my best to do that, okay? But the goal of restorative practices, in the classroom, we see conflict all the time, right? We see kids getting in fights. We see, you know, accusations, hey, they did this, they did that. We see the phone out, all that stuff. The goal behind the restorative practices is to restore right relationship, okay? What are some of the practices that we can put into place to bring restoration to a conflicted situation, okay? Conflicted relationship. Now, there's two different axes. I'm a math teacher, right? The x-axis, the y-axis, okay? Bring it back to algebra. The x is on the horizontal, the y is on the vertical, okay? If you guys want to do this, you can. Move your hands. I told you I expect some movement in today's sermon. Okay. So on the x-axis, we have support. Okay, and as I was going through this training, I was like, oh, this will preach. Oh, this will also be great practice for your homes. If you are a parent and you have kids, okay, this will apply to some of the ways that you might talk about the way that you parent your children. I know my wife and I exist on different axes a lot of the time, okay? I tend to exist on this support axis of encouragement and support, right? I'll tend to go that way before I tend to go the vertical way, which is control, limit setting, discipline, right? Now, the reason that my wife and I are able to parent our children is because we balance each other out and we try to find that way that we can both discipline or encourage or raise our children. Not saying that we have this all figured out, but this is one of the models that we can use to maybe put into place some ways to discipline our children, okay, or raise our children. All right. So in the first quadrant, if you are low in the control, okay, and you are low in the support, we call that neglect, right? We call that neglect. If you are not in control of your children and you are not supporting your children, you are neglecting your children, right? In the classroom, if you are not controlling your classroom and you are not supporting your classroom, you are neglecting your children. Now, I'm going to tie this into the biblical advice for us, okay, or the example that Jesus or that God gives us through Jesus and show us how he is not neglectful, how he is not too high on the control, how he's not too high on the support, but he works in complete balance to bring us into what I'll call restorative, the restorative square. Okay. So, neglectful. The verse that I pulled for this one, in Jeremiah, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, he says, "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" I think at times it's really easy to think of this God who is distant, who doesn't interact with us very often, who kind of just sits on his throne and he lets things happen, right? It's really easy to picture God as this almighty being who created us. Like you may even believe in the creator who's just placed us into nature and allowed nature to take its course, right? I think this verse gives us pretty clear evidence that he didn't just set things into motion and then let it happen. It says, no, he is near. He is not a God far off. You can't find a hiding place where God cannot see you. There is no secret place that God doesn't know exactly what you are doing. He knows what happens, you know, behind closed doors. He knows what happens when you slide a little under the table, right? He sees that. He's not neglecting that. He is in all things. He is around all things. He sees all things. It's called omnipresence. He is omnipresent, okay? So he's not neglectful. Now, if we look on the too high of control side, we would call that punitive, okay? An example of this would be like a dictator of a country. If you thought of like a Hitler or something like that who just powers it in and says, you do this, I don't care what you think, I don't care how you feel, there is no encouragement, you just do what I tell you to do, right? There's often times in parenting where sometimes I catch myself going, Todd, ugh. Not right now, Todd, you're good. He's like, oh, what did I do? Or maybe, I don't know, are you good? You good? Okay, all right. And you yell at them, and you say, you do this, or else. And in fact, if you want, if your goal for your children is strictly compliance, to do what you tell them to do, no matter what, you could act like this. But the fear or the problem with that, if you create little soldiers that just do exactly what you tell you to do like that, right? If you're too high on the control, you're going to miss out on the love. You might have strictly compliant children, but they might be completely absent in heart, okay? So some control, actually high control is great, just not to the point where you're neglecting or forgetting about the support, okay? So the verse that I pulled for this one, in Jeremiah 29:11, it's a pretty famous verse, pretty popular, because it talks about the care that God has for you. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you future and a hope." He's not all about, here's my 10 commandments, follow these. You do these, you get good life, right? He says, actually, I've given you those commandments so that you will find welfare, so that you will be blessed in this life. You will find joy. You will prosper. You'll have a future and a hope. His commandments that he gave us was meant to guide us in the best kind of life. All right? There's high control and high support. So let's talk about the high support real fast. Okay? Oh, one other verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Okay? This is a follow-up of the John 3:16 verse, right? He didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. He didn't say, Jesus is for you, right? I didn't give Jesus to you. He came for you to be with us, okay? It wasn't necessarily something that was given to us. All right, high on the support side. This is where I find myself a little too often, all right, and I admit it. It's one of my weaknesses. I say, Taryn, clean your room, right? Taryn, go clean your room. Sorry, I'm calling you out, kids, hearing this message. This happened just last month. I was like, Taryn, clean your room. 3 weeks go by. Taryn, clean your room. Taryn, fine, I'll go clean your room for you, right? I just want the room clean. That's my bad, right? I've been telling her for weeks, hey, clean your room, clean your room. I got so fed up with it where I was like, I'll just do it for you. And I went in and I did it for her. I was too permissive in her neglect of cleaning her room. We'll talk about it later. Okay. Permissiveness. Okay. Another way of putting this is on a scale of legalism and lawlessness. Okay. God does have a standard for our lives where he wants us to live this way, but he does permit us to partake in some things that he's given us in this life, just not too much so, right? We're not enabling people. There's a good book, When Helping Hurts, right, where it talks about how we deal. Doug's pointed that one out to me before, right? It's how we deal with people in our community that may be experiencing homelessness or experiencing hardships in their life. If we do everything for them, we're going to enable them. They don't know what to do themselves. It could actually hurt more in the long run than it does help them, okay? Some of the verses that show that he's not just about permissiveness. He says, for the word of God is alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So you can't escape the judgment of God. There will still be judgment from God. Okay. The beautiful thing is that we know, yeah, you have a question? Oh, okay, I thought you were raising your hand. Hey, so if you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand. I'll stop, I'll ask it, answer it. All right. Okay. Now, where was I? Okay, yeah. God, he will judge us, whether we have Jesus in our lives or we don't. We will face the judgment of God at the end of our lives. The beautiful thing is, if we have Jesus, we're seen through the blood of Jesus. We're covered. If we don't, we're not, right? So it's not all control. It's not all permissiveness. The goal, okay? Oh, sorry, one other verse. What then shall we say in response to these? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us, right? He does want to nurture us. He does want to support us, okay? But the goal that we are aiming for here is with, to be restorative, okay? If we think back through the story of the human creation, Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Adam and Eve existed in perfect relationship with God as they walked in the garden. But we know, right, that they both ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened. And from that day on, God has been seeking to restore a right relationship between his creation, us human beings, and himself. The goal is restoration. In parenting, when my kids are fighting, like, how many of you guys have sons and daughters, or they fight, or argue, sorry, they argue all the time, right, with your sister? Yeah. Natalie starts it, of course. That's, thank you so much. Perfect example, right? Actually, I did that with Taryn the other day. I was like, you started it, right? Now, here's the question that I would ask. Can I use you as an example real fast? Can I? The first thing I would say is, well, what happened? Everything. She did everything wrong, right? Well, the first thing in restoration, asking the question. Oh, you started. That's humble. Very good. Yeah. All right, we're going to have a restorative circle later over here, okay? And we'll go around. We'll hear everybody's side of the story, right? What happened, okay? And then the final question that you try to get to in restoration is, well, what's going to make it right, right? I hear you felt this way when the other person did that, and you felt this way when the other person did that. Well, what's it going to take to restore relationship? When you do that, when you start asking restorative type questions, you start gaining the control of the situation, but showing support at the same time so that you can work together to get into restoration, into a restored relationship. You know, I didn't even go in my notes, but hey, what the heck? All right. So you restore the relationship. That is the goal. This is what we see in Scripture. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The key word that I want to look with you right here is with. Okay? God goes with you. God goes with you. The goal in restoration is always with, and we see God doing this over and over again throughout Scripture. He is with you. He is with you, okay? The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He is with you. He is singing over you. He is rejoicing over you, okay? And then lastly, one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, he gives us the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with you, even to the very end of the age. Okay, I got a little illustration for you guys. Right? I'm hoping this works. Some of us have put our faith in Jesus. Some of you guys made that confession of faith at camp, right? Let's just say this represents us, right? This is who we are. It's red, right? When we accept Jesus into our lives, right? Say this is Jesus, okay? Red and blue. I know I couldn't find a great blue, but I'm hoping this works, right? When you exist without Jesus, you exist kind of as this color, a human being with a human condition, right? Sin in your life. But when you confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? It says he will send the Holy Spirit to indwell within you. The Holy Spirit comes to live with you. So Jesus, right, when you accept him, he goes into your heart. See how it turns purple? Orange? Purple? Should be purple. Okay. We'll just call it purple because red and blue is supposed to make purple. That's science. Okay. All right.
Can't argue with that.
Okay. I tried. It was hard to find a blue. But it's pretty purple, right? Now, the question is, can you now separate that back into red and blue? No, right? When you pray boldly in your heart, and you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus comes in to live with you. You are no longer alone in this life. You can no longer be separated from loneliness, right? God is with you. Your whole structure changes. It says the old is gone, and the new has come. That's the beauty of the baptism. Right? We're representing the death of the old life and the resurrection into the newness of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Yeah, you can clap for that. That's the beauty of it all. He lives with you and he will be in you. Okay? All right, I'm going to go ahead And I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And one of the ways that we express this commitment of faith in Jesus to show that God is with us is by the partaking of the elements of communion, okay? And in communion, what we are doing is we are saying that we believe in Jesus, and partaking of bread and juice, we are representing that God is with us, right? At the communion table, Jesus is sitting with his disciples. And he says, this is about what's going to happen to me in the coming days. I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to be captured, and I'm going to be tortured. My blood is going to be shed so that you can have life. And when he leaves this life, he says, but when I leave, someone greater than me is going to come, and that is called the Holy Spirit. And the reason why the Holy Spirit, he calls him greater than Jesus, is because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at all times existing within you. So when we take of the elements, he breaks the bread and he says, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he takes the cup and he says, this is my blood which is shed for you. Whenever you drink this in remembrance of me. So what we're going to do is we have two stations set up. They're going to play a song for us. And as you guys, if you want to just quiet your hearts for a minute, pray, reflect on the goodness of what Jesus has done for us. If you need to take a moment and pray to Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I want you to be with me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray that prayer quietly in your heart. God knows he hears you. Okay? If you've made right with Jesus, if you've prayed that, if you know Jesus exists within you, you are a part of the church, and we want to celebrate communion with you, okay? So as they play the song, feel free to come on up. You can grab a piece of bread and a cup, and you can take it back to your chair. You can reflect as long as you'd like, and then partake of it whenever you are ready,